Well, growing up near coastal Tweed Heads gave Amelia Telford a real passion for the ocean and for the land, that beautiful country of Tweed Heads. If you've ever done that drive up the Pacific Highway on the east coast of Australia, it's a beautiful part of the world. Now, for many of us in our early 20s, that passion for the beach and the land might extend to hanging out on the beach or surfing or a bit of bushwalking maybe. But for this 21-year-old Bundjalung woman, it's a passion with an edge. And the Bob Brown Foundation has just named her the 2015 Young Environmentalist of the Year. Amelia is the National Director of what's called the SEED Indigenous Youth Climate Network. And she has a unique job with it, mentoring other Indigenous youth in climate change activism and social justice. And she joins us via Skype now this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Natasha. Thanks so much
for
having me. Yeah, I'm up in Airlie Beach at the moment with a lot of our young people that I mentor, so it's great to be able to talk to you right now.
So what does this prize mean to you? Did you meet Bob?
Yeah, I did. It's funny, the story actually kind of starts, I was riding my bike home from work, as I do, down in Melbourne, and my phone started ringing, and I was a bit reluctant to pick it up because it was after work hours, even though, you know, this is a lifestyle for me. It's not just a job. But yeah, I picked it up anyway, and I heard, hi, it's Bob Brown here. And I almost fell off my bike. And so it was pretty hilarious. But yeah, it was fantastic to hear that Bob himself and many others who, you know, have been fighting this fight for a very long time have heard about the work that we're doing with Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people. And it's just so amazing to see that recognised at such a high-level award and the platform that it brings to our work.
Because this prize is awarded by selection, not nomination, so you are extra special. This is very personal for you. This specific interest in climate change, where did it begin and why did it begin so young?
Yeah, it definitely is really personal. I think growing up for me with my parents, my dad's an Aboriginal man from Bundjalung country, and also we have South Sea Islander heritage and connections to the Philippines and many kind of low-lying areas, and my mum's from New Zealand, a Pākehā white woman from New Zealand. And growing up with my two parents who have really, really strong moral values, they just instilled these values in my brothers and I, mainly around, you know, respecting the land for all that it provides for us, but also, you know, respecting each other and people and caring for each other. And I think growing up on such beautiful land where there's amazing bush, there's beaches, there's wildlife, there's rainforest, there's waterfalls, it's just incredible. I was always immersed in all of it, and I've just been so passionate about, you know, people being able to feel that strong connection to country. And for me, it's always been a part of who I am. It's a part of my identity. It's a part of, I guess, what people know me for. And so it was when we drove back home one day, because I was born in Tweed Heads and we lived in Kingscliff for a while, but because of Dad's work, we moved down to Lismore area. And so we'd often go back home and visit the family. And one year we went back home, and the east coast of Australia had just been hit by a big cyclone, not particularly in the Kingscliff region, but because of the high tides and huge swell that the cyclone had created. We saw so much coastal erosion in the Kingscliff area, and, you know, similar to a huge sinkhole that we've seen recently up in the coastline.
Yeah, that is so wild. The images of that sinkhole are extraordinary.
It's just so scary, and it just reminded me exactly of that day that we went up there and I saw the surf club in Kingscliff, you know, being sandbagged because it was so close to falling into the water. There was reports of caravan sites that have that had been lost, and I guess the place that I, you know, knew so well because it's so important to my family was just barely recognisable. And so when I started, you know, seeing all of these changes and learning about climate change at high school at the time, and kind of being more strong and passionate and proud of who I was and am as an Aboriginal woman, I started connecting a lot of the dots between, you know, those things, and realised that I actually had a huge responsibility to stand up for this place and be a part of, I guess, fighting for a more just and sustainable future. And so that's really where it all started when I joined an environment group at my school, and it's all gone from there, really.
And you've even put aside what was going to be a medicine degree. I don't know, how do your parents feel about that?
Yeah, well, you know, all throughout school I was really passionate about health and still am. You know, the gap in Australia between Indigenous and non-Indigenous health is pretty unacceptable, and we need so many more Indigenous doctors out there for our people. But I guess during the time that I was studying to get accepted into medicine, I was also learning more about climate change and the injustices that our people face, and I guess analysing it a bit more in terms of the systemic issues and the root causes of this, and realised that, you know, being a doctor, I could be a part of the service delivery aspect of bettering Indigenous health, and particularly, you know, recognising that climate change also worsens Indigenous health in Australia and around the world. But I also realised that we need large-scale political and social change to actually address the systemic injustices that have caused so many of the problems that people are facing.
You got the activist bug, and and this is what this award, the 2015 Bob Brown Foundation's Young Environmentalist of the Year Award, recognises. You're the National Director for the SEED Indigenous Youth Climate Network. Why are you particularly focused on engaging Indigenous young people on climate change, especially when, and so climate justice, as you call it, is your focus, but there are so many other pressing issues that you could engage Indigenous youth on that are so vital to them right now. You mentioned the Closing the Gap campaign, the high rate of Indigenous incarceration, the constitutional recognition campaign, big, vital issues. Why do you want to engage Indigenous young people on climate change?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. It's very, very complex. And I think it really comes from the fact that, you know, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and Indigenous people around the world have looked after our planet sustainably for tens of thousands of years. And so much a part of who we are is our cultural connection to country. It's a part of our identity. It's a part of our, you know, cultural practices. And it's really what makes us who we are, because we're not, you know, we don't control the land. We're a part of the land. And it provides for us, and it heals itself, and it can, you know, it can kind of do without us, but we can't do without it. And so for me, I guess I really strongly believe that because the people that are facing the impacts of climate change right now, mainly Indigenous people, mainly people of colour around the world, too often we're the ones that have done the least to cause the issue. You know, we have the least responsibility to the actual, you know, destruction of our land and I guess a society that's driven by greed, because that isn't what drives our culture.
Amelia Telford is...
We are the ones that are... Sorry, is it cutting out there?
No, go for it. We've got you.
Right. And yet we are the ones that are facing the most severe consequences. And so I guess, you know, climate change really does threaten the world as we know it, and particularly for Indigenous people and our connection to the land. And I just really think that by engaging in an issue that you can really critically think about the world and how it works and who controls, you know, the majority of wealth and who makes decisions and how people can actually really be a part of that, then you think about climate change and the actual causes of the crisis and realise that when people come together, we can actually really step up and show the leadership that our world leaders are failing to display. And climate change just is connected to so many of those issues. Like you said, you know, with the Close the Gap campaign around health, with the forced closures of Indigenous communities in WA and all across the country, it's connected to the fact that governments and corporations are trying to force our people off land to have access to that land for extractive industries. And so when you really analyze it, it's all very, very connected. And I strongly believe that climate change is not only the greatest global humanitarian issue, but it's also a great opportunity for us to revitalize the way that we live, the way that we work together, the way that we you know, our economy is...
All right. Well, but let me just weigh in on this, though, Amelia Telford, because there have been interesting tensions between traditional Aboriginal landholders and 21st century environmental activism. And I'm thinking of, for example, the debate over the Wild Rivers legislation in Queensland, where Indigenous communities wanted access to lands for fishing and farming, for traditional practice. Environmental activists wanted access barred or compromised. So these aren't always, you know, necessarily natural bed partners.
No, you're completely right. And, you know, I'm up in Queensland at the moment and we are hearing some of these stories about, you know, how it doesn't necessarily make sense for the green and black movements to work together, but then in other ways it makes complete sense. And so you're right, you know, you hear stories about people who've been told that traditional hunting doesn't fit with the conservative value, the conservationist values that people are trying to push for. And yet when you actually, you know, learn a bit more about our culture, you'll see that we, you know, do put forth these practices in a very sustainable way, and we've lost so much of our culture already, and yet you can hear stories about, you know, kind of uncles that are teaching their young men how to hunt turtles, but not in a way that they actually kill the turtles, because they already know that the turtle numbers are decreasing at a rapid rate, and so rather than actually, you know, killing those turtles and eating them, they'll teach people how to actually catch them, but then they'll let them go. And it's just a sign that, you know, we do understand how to maintain this country in a sustainable way. And so when it comes to, I guess, green groups telling us how to do that, it just doesn't make any sense. The leadership really needs to come from Indigenous people.
Well, here you are being both a green group and a black group. and I just wonder then, what's your priority, just finally and briefly? I know you're touring up the coast, the Queensland coast at the moment as a group, the Seed Indigenous Youth Climate Network, engaging with communities as you go. How receptive are young people, young Indigenous people, to your message?
Yeah, really receptive so far. I mean, you know, it's very important to recognise that all across the country, our people are beautifully diverse, and you know, we are a people. We aren't just you know, we don't all think the same and act the same. And so there is a great diversity of opinions and perspectives out there as well. But for the majority of those that we've met with so far, everyone, you know, agrees that we do need to be standing up for our country, and ideally having, you know, energy provided by the sun and the wind. And so we've found that education around the impacts of climate change, the causes of climate change, is quite low. And so part of what we're doing is really raising that awareness and focusing on our own people.
Okay.
And trying to get the message out there.
Look, congratulations on winning 2015 Young Environmentalist of the Year, the award through the Bob Brown Foundation. Thank you for joining us this morning. Enjoy those travels.
Thanks so much, Natasha. It was great to speak with you.
Amelia Telford, she's National Director for the Seed Indigenous Youth Climate Network and, as I mentioned, Bob Brown Foundation's 2015 Young Environmentalist of the Year. And there are a whole range of other awards that were announced as part of this year's awards. I think they might be the first year that Bob Brown and his foundation has done this. So interesting to see.